As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holthus on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Go. The draft is on Thursday, April 24th. You can put that last season to bed. 15-2, Super Bowl loss. It's all in the past. And the way that you build your future is by adding new weapons or new players to your team. The creatine is getting shook. The nectars of the gods are getting ready to be gargled by Mitch Holthus here on draft week. Mitch, first and foremost, thank you so much for coming in studio on this wonderful Monday morning. And also, how excited are you for the 2025 NFL draft that will be in Lambeau?
This is the sweet nectar of the end zone.
There it is. It's still got a little bit left.
Got some left. Saved it, put it in the basement. So excited for this draft, just because I think it really kind of starts a whole new chapter. Mm-hmm. It is the next phase of Patrick Mahomes' career.
Yep.
As he approaches 30. It is this team where I've looked at it, watched it for 12 years, and I've seen Andy Reid be brilliant at what he's just looked at me at the eyes sometimes and go, I'll fix it. And so to come off that Super Bowl loss, I just feel like it's a chance to recoil and rebound and next chapter.
It starts with
this draft.
You say next chapter. We talked about it the last couple of weeks or so, I guess it was. What chapter of Patrick Mahomes' career is this? Is this entering chapter number two of his career, or are we much further past chapter number two right now?
Feels like three.
Okay.
One was his start.
Right.
His incredible start when he becomes Batman or any of the other Marvel comic heroes. The second one is where he becomes dominant. And now it is the challenge of being 30 and what happens between 30 and 35 in his age. Mm-hmm. And then what happens to this team with one more shot with Kelsey. But I think this, again, just feels like a start of a new era.
Yeah, see, that's where I get kind of confused, because the haircut's changed. He's 30, but we still have Travis Kelsey. So we're kind of like in that tweener chapter, you know? Like, if Travis had retired, then I'd be like, okay, we're fresh. We're starting chapter 3. But Travis is still kind of there, like chapter 2.2 or something like that. I don't know.
My two favorite series, one was Mad Men. It was just brilliant. I think it was underrated. Two, Ted Lasso. Actually, Hell on Wheels is close third. Nobody knows about that one. It's just awesome because it's about around here. But this is about, think about Ted Lasso or Mad Men. It's like you're halfway through it, but you're going into that third part of it. Mm-hmm. And that's where this team is. I also think that Brett Veach and his staff have done an excellent job in this offseason. They just stay on it. They never stop. The throttle is stuck wide open. But, guys, Chris Shea is brilliant. Mike Bradway is now stepping into he's the next superstar, in my opinion. And, in fact, Defending the Kingdom, the last two Defending the Kingdom podcasts that I do with Matt McMullen deals with those two areas. And that is what this team has done to get him to in position for Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday, but then also to start this new chapter. Because I think they're all thinking that same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not hanging on to something. You're starting something new.
It just feels like we need that, too. Like you were kind of mentioning before the show, it's like it's just been kind of like quiet with Chiefs stuff. You know, since the Super Bowl, it's been, you know, the Royals were, you know, going to have great expectations going in. And, you know, we know where they are at this point of the season. Not a lot of excitement about them at this point in time. It feels like now it's time to start ramping that sheet. Like we're over the Super Bowl loss. It's time to kind of move forward, right?
Well, and I mean it nationally, too. Yeah. The lights have been so bright on this team nationally with Travis and Taylor and Mahomes and all the way, you know, through. It's okay for those lights to turn somewhere else because it allowed this team to just do its work and get ready to counterattack. And so I think it's good that not everybody's watching every little thing the Chiefs do and talk about it.
Yeah. So it all gets going on Thursday with that draft. And, you know, we can sit here and talk of names or whatever we want to talk about. You've got a Bible of names right there. I think for me, it's all about that positioning. And I look at defensive line, Mitch. I want to kind of start there with you. Is defensive line kind of the honey spot this year for the draft?
Well, the honey spot to me is actually those picks 63, 66, and 95. And I think Brett Veach alluded to it the other day in his presser. After pick 20-ish, from 21 to 100, you got a chance to get some really good players. And I mean starters, potential pro bowlers, all pro guys. Let me give a shout-out first to Austin. Mm-hmm. You know Austin Woodard.
I know Austin.
And he's the best mortician in the state.
He is.
You know, he got that award, I think, in Joplin, Missouri. He just loves personnel. He loves offensive line technique, but he puts together the Bible pretty much. But I'll use this for 10 years. We pick up players, I reference back to it. Yes, I use electronic, okay? I've got an iPad and two laptops.
No. Never so seen
just,
it.
Just save all that stuff, okay, on social media. Like, stop it, people. But for quick reference and having it all comprehensive right there within seconds, I've got it with the Austin Woodard Bible. So
how do you get those all to your game? Like, if you're using those 10 years at a time, like, how do you get 10 of those to a game?
The basement's it's ugly down there. It's ugly, but I know where it's at. Like, so you go get Christian Fulton and you go, let's go back and look at his draft report. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So those are actually, you find some nuggets in there and take a young man and take him from that point on. Let's go back. Yeah, the interior defensive line, I think at 31, if they stay put at 31, which I think it feels like a move up or down to me. Mm-hmm. But at pick 31, I think interior defensive line, because what you want at 31, in my opinion, is an immediate starter, immediate impact week one, and then an eventual Pro Bowl / All Pro. Mm-hmm. And I think those guys are there in this draft at the interior defensive line. Not so much edge. Yes, there's talent there. But I think this team, if you find a young Chris Jones or Chris Jones complement, I would love to find a combination of taking what Derek Nnadi did for this team, and I heard you talking about him, and I think it's a very astute point.
Thank you.
He's a terrific two-gap player. He does the dirty work. People don't appreciate him enough, but now he's gone. He's a Jet. Mm-hmm. But take him and what Turk Wharton was able to do, now a Panther, put that person together, or put those two guys together, and then give them 35-inch wingspan, and let her rip. But I can see that in this draft with some guys.
A lot of guys like that. Yeah, yep. Yeah. No, the Derek Nnadi pick, I mean, I think it goes down as one of the better picks of Brett Veach's, you know, tenure here in Kansas City. I mean, that was a second-round pick that was a starter for 5 or 6 years that he was here.
This team has been good, really good at two things. One, defending the run. We saw that consistently. They gave up one long run all year, basically, and they shut down Saquon Barkley. Say what you want. But then, two, they're great at defending the tunnel or bubble screens, better than any team in the league. Well, some of that is your DBs. A lot of it are your linebackers, but it's also your D linemen. And if your interior defensive linemen are able to move laterally and get from point A to point B in a hurry and make an impact play, you become an elite defense. And so that's the underrated part of what Spags has been able to do. And then you got to look for those kind of guys. And that's where Veach and his staff are great. They look at it from a defensive player. Let's take interior defensive line. They look at it through Spags' glasses. And then with coach on the or Nags on the offensive side.
I think it's interesting because, for one, I get now tweeted at to stay focused on almost anything. You've coined that into my life.
I'm trying to look at you in the eye now. I'm looking at you in the studio. I'm trying to figure out, are you focused?
I am, man. As soon as you threw that Bible down, I'm ready for the sermon.
Take a sip of the nectar.
It's a little backwash at this point, but I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. But no, the thing is that, like, I look at this team, and you mentioned Saquon Barkley, and you mentioned running backs. Like, you are on board, and I've been on board with this since, I think, the Monday after the loss. We were still in New Orleans. Like, I think this team needs, like, an electric style of guy back there. Again, I'm not saying go find Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan Robinson like that, but somebody that's not just between the guards, you know, 2 to 3 yards and move the chains, but somebody that can actually be a dynamic piece. And you got those two picks in the third round with a deep running back draft. We've asked Binkley, who you know would sleep on that as his pillow every night if he could. But, like, do you agree in that sort of situation, in that third round with that second overall pick that you got from Tennessee, that there's maybe a running back option there to change maybe the dynamic of this offense even more?
I think looking at this draft, you can also get that at 66 or 95.
Okay.
And that's where I think a possible trade down could happen is, and you got to find a trade partner and somebody willing to, hey, we need to go to 31 to go get somebody. But then you pick up a fourth or fifth that you don't, or fifth that you don't have, or a fourth. And I think you can find that same guy that you're alluding to, because I'm with you. I'm in total agreement. Let me give you a stat. Last year, the Chiefs were number one in the NFL in the number of second and four or second and fives by far. What was that? That's Kareem Hunt getting 4 yards or five on first down. I've learned to love second and five. Mm-hmm. I hate second and 11. Or first and 15.
Or fourth and one.
I hate third and one.
Well, don't even go there. But the point is, you've got a chance. You've got that guy. Mm-hmm. And Kareem Hunt's proven that. What you haven't had is the 4-3-5 burner Jahmyr Gibbs type.
Right.
And a David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs combo when the Lions 2 years ago had that. If you get that, you got something. So when you look at this draft, the kid from Tennessee, Dylan Sampson, a little shorter, but he's got the 4-3-5 speed. To me, Brashil Tootin from Virginia Tech, 5'9", 206, got some toughness. There was a Pacheco comp, but he's faster. He's 4'3", 2. So what? Those are just a couple names. The two Ohio State guys will be gone probably. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at what would be the next Jerick McKinnon as a rookie. And Gibbs, yes. But I think it's going to be hard to find a Gibbs, but you can find maybe a Jerick McKinnon-ish type guy. In the second or third round.
Are we seeing a renaissance at the running back position, or are we just looking at 1 year and going, the running back is back?
No, Barkley did it.
Yeah.
Because every draft discussion for the 5 years prior to this one is, you don't take a running back. You don't. Now they're all of a sudden they're looking at, you know, Genty's going to go, what, top five maybe?
I'm afraid he's going to go to Vegas.
I think he'll go to Vegas. Yeah. And
they're going to go back-to-back with Bowers and Genty and put their – claim their
Bowers is going
to
be a load, boys.
Yeah, for a long time.
I ask the question, would you rather have Bowers or Ladd McConkey on the Chiefs?
On the Chiefs? Mm. I would take Bowers because he's your Kelsey replacement. Okay. Like, and I'd love to have him and Kelsey together for a year because that would just be wicked. But Bowers is so good. And love Ladd McConkey too.
Yeah.
But still, the fact that Genty now has become – and people are going, well, you just don't take the guy like that. You don't take him in the first round. Completely got wiped out in this discussion because of what Saquon Barkley did last year at the Eagles.
Yeah, it changes everything because I am a don't draft a running back that high. But I think, you know, you look at a guy like, you know Genty right now, and if that's the guy and you can get 3 or 4 really good years out of him, then it's worth your first round draft pick, isn't it?
Well, and Bob, you look at like Travion Henderson, right, and Quinshon Judkins. Those guys were, I mean, what a 1-2 combo.
Yep.
Beat even a Marion Hampton. These guys are all being talked about in the first round. A year ago, you would have been a fool to talk about them because you just don't take that guy.
Right.
Now that could be where the run is, because on the podcast, two podcasts ago with Matt, is being prepared. This Chiefs team, and where Brett Veach and his staff have done an excellent job, they have prepared this team to be able to move up, down, and not be exposed in any certain area. but you also have to be ready for the run. The run's coming somewhere. Last year it was quarterback. Mm-hmm. But those six guys in the first 12 picks, it shoves everything else down. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's why it gave the Chiefs a chance to get Xavier Worthy, because it shoved the wide receivers down. Now, in 22, it was the run on wide receivers. There was a lot of wide receivers. What did that do? That shoved down Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis to be able to take. Running back, ironically, because you didn't take running backs in the first round, could be where that run is this year. And it starts with Janty and the other guys that I mentioned. And again, it's just a change in thought. It can change so quickly in this league.
No doubt about it. We'll continue our draft coverage with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on the other side. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for...
Into it on 96.5 The Fan. Happy Monday morning, 8 o'clock hour. Hope everybody's having a beautiful, beautiful start to their Monday. Send me the text line is, Mitch and his draft Bible on my birthday, nothing better. We talked a little bit of running back. Real quickly, over under 3.5 total running backs taken in the first round.
It'll be under that.
Okay.
So I would take three.
Okay.
Three running backs in the first round.
All yeah.
Right. And be. Then you mentioned something about defensive tackle being a significant need for this team. The floor is yours, Mr. Holtis.
Well, there are several, because you've got to be realistic. Who's there at 31? Let's just say no trade up or down. But who's there at 31 realistically? And Derek Harmon of Oregon, because I'm looking through the glasses of Spags. And when you look at Harmon, he's position versatile. What Spags loves is to play inside and outside. We've seen it with Mike Dana. We've seen it with Chris Jones. We can go right down the line. Amenahu, it's where Spags can do his magic, and Harmon seems like that. Plus, I'm so into length right now. And maybe Super Bowl 59 influenced me that much. But to me, the most underrated metric in any sport, maybe not baseball as much, but for sure basketball and football, is wingspan. I can be 6'2 with a 7-foot wingspan. We've seen those players in basketball. But in the NFL, the arm length is just, particularly at offensive and defensive line, to me is paramount. It's hard to play it with short arms unless you're going to be a center or maybe a guard. But the guy that I love, doubt if he'll be there. Let me throw another one out there, though. It's Darius Alexander of Toledo. Little lighter, but he's got the reach. Looks like he can be a three-down player. He could be the combo I'm talking about. I want Derek Nnadi and Turk Wharton in the same person, who could potentially be an all-pro. The guy that I keep going back to his video, and I just go back to it and go back to it, and there's a medical on him in just March of this month, but it's Alfred Collins of Texas. There was one piece of information I saw, a Jerry Tillery comp, which is interesting because now he's with us.
Yeah.
But this... Alfred Collins has a 34 5/8 inch reach, 7 passes broken up, couple of block kicks. I watch his video, and I see him do the very thing I talked about before the break, where he'll hustle on a play to get outside on a bubble or tunnel screen. He wears 95, so he looks like a younger Chris. But with his wingspan, if you put him, and I'm talking Collins, and even Alexander to some extent, and I put him, or Harmon, probably Harmon even more so. I put him fingertip to fingertip with Charles Amenahu and Chris Jones and just line them up on the defensive front. Fingertip to fingertip, I can cover 25 feet.
That's insane.
I love it. And I think that's where the game has gone. But those guys also have to be willing to be two-gap players. Mm-hmm. I can't just sit there. Walter Nolan won't be there, but if he is there, he's a kind of a one-gap player.
A lot of people are picking him to go to the Chiefs, though, in a lot of these mock drafts.
I think they think that he'll drop to 31. I don't know if he will, but and he's a one-gap type player. I'm not criticizing for it because he's explosive. Mm-hmm. But in Spags' system, you're not always going to be a one-gap guy. Can you be a two-gap guy? Can you hold it up or let Chris Jones do his work or Karlaftis? Or here's what the scheme calls for. Can you play outside and inside? Can you play outside the tackle's shoulder? That's what Spags wants in a defensive lineman. And in this draft, there are several options.
Yeah, it sure seems like it. Like I feel like they didn't do much work on the defensive line in quote-unquote free agency. Not that I'm a free agent guy or anything like that, but it sure seems to have been quiet at that position. Seems like they're kind of like letting everybody know we're getting lathered up for this draft with all these defensive linemen.
Yeah, I'm curious what Jerry Tillery's got. Haven't seen him yet,
yeah.
But I think he could be a really good contributor and maybe a Nnadi replacement. But them to also keep guys. Like, you looked up and down the line, Nnadi. Yep. I mean, Mike Dana's still here.
Love that guy. He's one of my favorite players on this team, man.
But he's so underrated in what he does. And he does things right, and then he'll get the occasional, you know, big splash play. Felix Anyadike-Uzomah had his best football over the past third of the season last year.
Yep.
And you're just hoping Mike Dana turn it loose. But the guys are all still there, other than Nnadi and Turk Wharton. But I do think that they did work either keeping guys, which we underrate.
Yes, absolutely.
Or getting Tillery and then add to this group with this draft class. You're going to have a really good defense going into next year, I think. It could be better.
Mitch, the other thing that everybody's looking at is offensive line, obviously. Did they sign their left tackle needs or sign? I mean, fill their left tackle needs in the offseason with their signings? Or is that still a position we should look at early in the draft?
You're going to look at it. But what do you have there, and what can you get there? And going back to Dusty's point, is there somebody there that could be developmental with 63, 66, or 95? The elite tackles, and we've seen this, are gone in the first 12 to 14 picks. Now, in this class, there are several. I don't know why, you know, Kelvin Banks of Texas, I see people all over the board on him. Austin, when he put together the Bible, he loves him better than anybody else. He probably won't be there at 31, but I see him dropping in some mocks, so I don't know why. Josh Simmons gets talked about a lot from Ohio State, and the fact the best thing he's got going for him is he went to Alex Smith's high school. I went to Helix in San Diego. But, man, to me it's a 26 pick if you take him, because that the injury on him would be, it'd be hard. He's not going to be able to do your spring stuff, or your summer stuff as much. And that, think about Felix Anyadike-Uzomah. He broke his hand in the Sugar Bowl, right? So that just, it set him back on what he was able to do in May, June, and going into camp. And then, man, it's so vital for rookies and the way Andy approaches it. And so with Simmons, it would be a future pick instead of something right now. You want to know, and then SRA, the Ruskin kid, he's really intriguing. You watch his
video. From Minnesota,
video.
Right?
Yeah. Minnesota.
Yeah.
That played at Ruskin.
Right, yeah.
But he looks like a right tackle road grader to me. And, okay,
fine. He's a first-round pick, though, isn't he? Early second, maybe?
He's right in there. He could be there at 31. But terrific run blocker, and he'll blow you up. But to put him as an edge, again, his arm, 33.5. So you want 34, 35, right?
Yeah,
but,
right.
But, man, he'll blow you up. He looks like Trey Smith to me playing tackle, but I think he's a really good player. I think he's going to be a really good pro. But my guy is Charles Grant of William & Mary.
Charles Grant. All right.
William & Mary. His length, 34.875. You watch his video. He is Trey Smith playing tackle because he takes no prisoners. He wipes people out. You're going, well, wait a minute. He's playing Wofford and – you know, who's he playing?
Liberty,
I don't care.
Yeah, right.
And a high school wrestler, which is a big deal to me because it's a big deal to our staff. If you look at high school wrestlers, great high school wrestlers, Creed Humphrey comes to mind here. That becomes such a big part of playing on the offensive and defensive lines. Mm. The use of leverage, quickness, hand placement, move, counter move. And so this guy was an awesome high school wrestler. He stayed at William & Mary. He is a bit of a dinosaur because I think these guys are – you're not going to be able to find these guys at FCS anymore. They're all getting poached by NIL. But if you go watch his video, you're going, if you're going to take a developmental guy, you take this guy. I love it. Now, his negatives are punch quickness. He plays in a zone-heavy scheme. We'll play some zone, but not a lot. You know, we're doing a lot of power-o, man-blocking, double-team and stuff. And then you have to be an awesome pass blocker. But – to me, if you want my sneaky, if perfect world, I take Alfred Collins at any one of these picks on the defensive side. But offensively, I love Charles Grant and William & Mary.
So we can get both of them?
Yeah, we'll get both of them. William & Mary, though, you know what worries me? Mike Tomlin's alma mater.
Yeah, he knows this guy.
Sean McDermott's alma mater.
They know this guy, right?
Yeah, the tribe of William & Mary.
Don't they have something more pressing though to figure out there in Pittsburgh? Like quarterback position. Yeah. You know, I think you probably need to look at that. You know, that area, but there are no quarterbacks this year in the draft, and that's why I think it kind of like there may be a little bit of a when it comes to the draft, because aren't we determining the strength of a draft normally by the quarterbacks? And this year, you really don't have that star quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, but our friend Mike Borgonzi's got all the heat. He's sitting right there, man. It's very much like we were in 2013 when we sat there with the 1-1, and there's are you going to take Travis Hunter if you're the Titans?
Right.
And then what are you going to do with him when you get him? And if you are going to run some routes with him, who's going to throw it to him? And then there's Cam Ward sitting there, and I don't know. Borgo knows he's got to get a quarterback to get things started. But is Cam Ward your guy?
Is your guy, right?
And then you can look at these other quarterbacks, Shamaris Sanders, you're like, wow, there's some risk there. Dart, but not like last year where you think there's five or six starters, and look what Daniels did. I mean, mm-hmm. he was awesome. So, but there'll be a run here somewhere, but the Chiefs are in position to handle the run.
Alex Gold really likes Alfred Collins, too, and this is how he described him. I'm sure you can hear this.
Oh, A-plus body type with well-proportioned frame and premium length.
Is what he said. Yeah. He likes the length guy, right?
Yeah, he's like you. He likes, if you just throw that in that little slot down there. This was Alex Gold's on Alfred Collins.
A-plus body type with well-proportioned frame and premium length.
So, I mean...
If you watch the video, though, yes, I agree with all that, and that's on his report. But when you look at him play, and I love the effort because I see Spag's effort there. Mm-hmm. I see Joe Cullen, who does an awesome job with our defensive line. Chris Jones will swear by him. But I see the effort. I see him knocking a pass down, which is the most devastating play that nobody talks about in football.
Oh, it's a great play. God, it's so good.
It's the best. You go back and watch video of a game, and you're going, oh, it's a double move. This is going to be 30 yards. It never gets there because the pass is deflected.
Yep.
And go back to Super Bowl 54. It's Exhibit A, where Chris Jones just takes over the game, and he knocks down every pass Garoppolo wants to make. Mm-hmm. And guys are open on those three throws. Go back and look at it. So you may not win the Super Bowl if you don't get those passes knocked down. When I see seven show up on a sheet, and I don't want to get so in love with a guy that then he goes off the board. But he also is durable. He played 64 of 65 games for UT. Now he's got a red flag because there's somewhere an injury in there, and that could help him drop. But it might help him drop to us, even past 31, maybe even in the second.
How much of this nonsense do you really believe, though, when you start seeing the injuries and stuff and all this late in the draft process stuff pop up?
It's my 32nd draft, so it's not my first trip around the block. There's so many smoke screens. And then there are participants in the smoke screen who put out propaganda or, hey, let's take them off this path and send them down another one. Yeah, I've seen a lot of it and seen it all.
I don't want this to seem arrogant, but it seems like with what the Chiefs did in the offseason, bringing back Kareem Hunt, Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, getting Hollywood Brown back, it doesn't really seem to me like they have a ton of, like, quote-unquote needs, and they feel comfortable with what they had last year. And maybe this draft isn't one of those drafts where they need the impactful player to be there on day one, week one, and be that sort of player. Is that arrogance, or is that me just looking at the draft, realizing it's not the strongest?
No, you're looking at it through 7 to 8 years of data. Mm-hmm. And it's why this team has, and they haven't been perfect. We all know that. We can bring up the ones where it's not worked out, but most of them have.
Yeah, lost two games last year.
Almost all of them have, to tell you the truth. And you look at the 22 class. Someday they're going to do some 30 for 30 on it because it's so brilliant and led to two Super Bowl championships. And this goes back to the defending the kingdom. It's called prepared in place. And it's worth a drive when you're driving home to listen to it, because we basically, Matt McMullen and I, go on a 25 to 30 to 40 minute on that. You're not being arrogant because the data is there to prove it, but it's the infrastructure and understanding. I mentioned Chris Shea's brilliant capologist, but he also is a personnel guy. It can be a capologist. That doesn't always exist. You get guys that are in your system that keep moving up. Mike Bradway is on the last podcast that we did. His dad, Terry, was with the Chiefs when I first started, just a awesome, former Jets GM.
Mm-hmm.
And
his mistake was going to the Jets.
Well, I know, but he took the GM job, right? Had to do it. You're going to a place where it's a sinkhole. But,
yeah.
But Mike's really brilliant. And then the staff and the way the scouts work together, we take it for granted how much respect there is side to side and top to bottom in the organization. And you think, well, that's the way it ought to be. Yeah, it's the way it ought to be. But is it that way most places? No, it's not. But and the other thing, Dusty, to your point, where it's not arrogant, is, and this is something I've always appreciated about Brett Veach, is that he will never look at 25 in and of itself. They look at 25, 26, and 27 all at the same time. So this draft, you've got to get, we got to get back on board. The division's coming after us,
yep.
Right? We all know that. They're sick of losing to us. Nine straight division titles, and here they come. Let's go find who's won a Super Bowl as a coach. Go get him. And then let's, you know, we got to take these guys out. So if people think we're just going to sit there and have them take punches at it, they're wrong. We're going to counterpunch. But you got to look at the 25 counterpunch. But they will never do that at the expense of 26 and 27. And your point, the best point you've made is the fact that there is no exposure anywhere. Nobody can look at the Chiefs and go, well, we can manipulate them into a pick mm-hmm. or manipulate them into a trade because they are desperate. No, people can look at us and go, we don't know what they're going to do. Brett Veach has this normal tendency to trade up. He could trade down. He's in a position to do that. Or he could stay at 31 and take, you know, multiplicity of things. It's not like, oh, they got to have, if you're Pittsburgh,
right.
You better figure out quarterback in a hurry. The Chiefs aren't in that position at really any spot. You could argue left tackle, and Jalen Moore's not had a lot of time or a lot of experience, but you at least have, you know, a guy that you have a chance to have some success with. So there's nowhere that you're really exposed.
When was the last time we were in a spot of had to draft because of need at a position?
Well, 2013, we needed everybody.
Right.
In fact, that was such a crazy year. You remember the Magnificent Seven?
That's right. They were great.
Seven guys thought they made the team on Saturday night. They go out and party. They're at Power and Light. They go to work on Sunday morning. They're all gone.
Right.
Because we were just completely turning over the roster. And those seven guys, I called the Magnificent Seven because we had first waiver claim.
Right.
And so we're just picking, snatching guys. So I think at that time, to take Eric Fisher at 1-1, everybody's mm-hmm. like, ooh, man, I don't know. But Eric Fisher became, what, an eight-year player.
He was really good, man. So, really good, yep.
And would you take him now?
Yes.
You might. So I think then would be, trying to think.
The McColl draft speaks to me.
Yeah,
McColl. There was yeah. Trouble
the
in
the just because of the the suddenness
yeah.
of the matter.
Right, yep.
And that's a great point because that's where you don't want to be.
Right.
But if you find out an hour before the draft that you've got Tyreek Hill, you may not have him at all, or there's some major problem, then yeah. But I'll defend the McCole Hardman pick.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
People are going, DK Metcalf. McCole Hardman won a lot of games for this team, and Super Bowl rings, and three Super Bowl rings, and a Super Bowl winning catch, and a 58-yard return that started everything against Houston.
Yep.
But you're right, because when that happened, all 31 other draft rooms go, oh, this is a bomb just went off on them.
Mm-hmm.
And now what are they going to do? They're desperate to find a Tyreek replacement.
Yeah, had Tyreek never gotten into that trouble the week before the draft, McCole Hardman's probably never on this team.
Probably not. But it turned out okay.
They're not okay. Yeah.
Three rings.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. That's why I asked, like, when have we ever really been in that position where you go and going, we've got to
have this.
But
you work hard on 365 yeah. days out of the year. Well, not every team does it. In fact, very few teams do it. But that's, I think, part of the thesis of this discussion is that Brett Veach never wants to be in that position.
Mm.
And so they're going to work. That's why I'm saying when you work ahead of 26 or 27, you avoid those circumstances usually.
No doubt about it, Mitch. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you a lot in these next 2 weeks here because it is draft season for the Kansas City Chiefs.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.